somewhere in the north of England. Well, it's actually north compared to where I am, but it's pretty middle for everywhere else. I just know I'm somewhere quiet. There's a robin sat outside the window. It's a beautifully kept garden, and I'm in the company of Tim Mousson. I said that actually more French than I should have. You threatened me a minute ago.
I did, you're right. I'm just about to grab this large stick here.
Mousson.
Mousson.
Even better. Now, I've been sent today on a mission by the Open University to come and have a chat with you about all kinds of things. And I've been wined and dined with cake and very, very nice coffee. I'm driving.
One later as well.
Oh, that's excellent. Nice to see a coffee connoisseur, definitely. Tell me, how long have you been studying with the Open University and why?
Started in November 2009, business studies degree. Because the funding was available through work, and I hadn't previously got a degree, so I thought, it'd be a good opportunity to take advantage of the funding.
Why not? Free education, kind of a rarity nowadays.
Absolutely.
So tell me, how easy is it to utilise what the Open University has to offer? Because you have a disability, you are registered blind. Have you always been registered blind?
No, so since I was three, a disease called Leber's amaurosis, which badly scarred my retina. So I still see light and dark, hence why I wear sunglasses a lot, because I'm quite light sensitive. Accessibility-wise for the OU, it is excellent. Most of the books are pretty accessible. Anyone with minimum of IT knowledge will be able to use the website. And everyone is only too happy to help normally as well. So the associate lecturers in the OU have all been fantastic.
So I'm trying to get my head around some of the technology that you might need, because I'm obviously facing the radiation of a screen all day. I'm guessing you still have a screen.
Yes. So I have a laptop with screen reading software on it. So that basically turns whatever goes to the graphics card into speech. So if I'm typing, I actually have mine set up so that it speaks after every word, because I'm typing too fast for it to keep up with me otherwise. But it's nice to know that I've at least roughly spelled a word right by listening to it, because my spelling isn't the best. But it'll also, as I arrow or tab around the screen, it will read like my desktop icons, it'll read all of the menus, it'll read all the text back to me, either line by line or top to bottom, or however. There are numerous navigation possibilities within documents or Excel spreadsheets. And on the internet, I can get it to read by link, or I can get it to jump to headings and then read from each individual heading. So for my OU studies, that's a piece of software called JAWS, which stands for Job Access with Speech. Which is the Windows-based one. I also have an Apple machine which has got VoiceOver, which is the Apple equivalent of it, which does the same job.
You've kind of pointed out a lot of my inabilities whilst I watch you use your technology. Whereabouts is your iPhone right now?
Good question. It's in my pocket.
You were using your iPhone a minute ago. I couldn't really see the screen because you have it on super dim, obviously to save battery power, but also because you don't need it. But show me how you use it.
So if we go back to the home screen, if I just start in the top, if I start in the very top left-hand corner, it'll tell me
5 of 5 bars, signal strength, status bar item.
My signal strength, which is 5 of 5 bars.
Wow.
3 of 02, UK network, status bar item.
Tells me the network.
3 of 3 bars, Wi-Fi signal strength, status bar item.
So 3 bars for my Wi-Fi.
1512, status bar item.
Time.
Camera, orientation locked, status bar item.
Well, so you do very, very subtle movements of your finger is showing that pretty much every portion of that screen is going to be giving you some kind of information spoken.
So if I So these are my icons. So you've got messages.
Calendar. Photos. Camera. Weather. Good beer guide. Clock. YouTube. Contacts.
So do all of these apps, say, for example, weather, when you open weather, does that... So does it actually...
Weather. New icon trend. High 21 degrees Celsius. Low 10 degrees Celsius. Page...
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. So I didn't realise these apps even would read stuff to you and let you know.
Yep, so I could then go down each day as well. So
now you're using gestures on the phone that I haven't seen used before. Is this a special accessibility?
So if you turn accessibility on the iPhone, it does alter the gestures that you use. So there is a list on there, and in actual fact, if you turn the accessibility on, there's a practice area where you can actually go and check what each of these gestures does.
And I don't see you use your... I mean, I primarily only use my thumb. You're using numerous fingers, and it's like watching a master pianist play a piece of music, because there's so many movements, some really subtle, and you're using more fingers than thumbs. Why is that?
So I could just use my thumb just by swiping across like that.
Okay, yeah.
However, for purposes of talking to you and aiming the microphone a bit toward you, it was easier to just do like that. But in everyday sort of reading, you can't always use your thumb. And in actual fact, it is easy to just hold the phone in your right hand and then just swipe with like your left finger across. And if I was to start reading from top to bottom, that's a two-finger swipe down, so you know it's...
It's really interesting, because for me, I don't know why, I just imagined that you know, would have found it easier to have had a raised keyboard and that the iPhone would be this mystery slate of nothingness, but no, I'm proved very wrong.
So messages is interesting with the keyboard. I mean, I...
Make sure there's no rude messages, because I can see some kisses there.
So if I just go into a
text field, is message text field.
Right, so I'm in the message field. Right, so if I just run my finger now over the keyboard, so say I, okay, so say if I'm going to type this is a test, so I'm on the T. If I just lift my finger off now, it'll type in the T.
Gotcha.
So
yeah. And you. That's really interesting, because you're typing pretty much as fast as I can on an iPhone. And you're using multi-touch as well. So it's effectively, I think somebody created a similar system for the Android keyboard.
They did. It's not spectacularly good.
No, but that's really interesting. So you've shown me a whole side of a device I have in my pocket all of the time that I didn't know existed. Is that what drew you to Apple in itself?
Yeah, so as soon as I heard that Apple had included accessibility in their devices, so it started out with my MacBook in 2008, I think, when they built it into their operating system. And at that point, I thought, you know what, if a company is going to the effort of actually supplying access technology in their operating system, rather than me going out and having to buy, in the case of a computer, an £800 piece of software to do the same job. Yeah. In the case of a phone, I was previously using Symbian-based devices. Okay. And that was £50 for the software to make that speak. You know, I'm like, well, if someone's going to go to the trouble of actually putting this stuff in, then, you know, I have to basically have that.
No, definitely. It's kind of interesting interviewing you right now as well, because I think you're most likely the first blind person that I've spoke to with my mobile phone talking in an interview kind of sense. And I'm very conscious of the fact that I can't give you any visual feedback, because it's something I'm so used to doing. If you say something I agree with, I'm nodding away, and then, or I'm smiling, like you're smiling at me now. Yeah. Can you hear people smile?
Yeah, absolutely. And similarly with nodding, you know, I mean, if you're like sort of saying, you know, nodding.
I'm trying to do that more, to be honest.
But, you know, if you do, then you can hear that somebody's nodding, you know, because the of the sound change in, you know, in where the voice is coming from.
Seeing for the first 3 years of your life, do you have much memory of that?
Yeah, so I remember colours. I remember spatial things, you know. So someone who's been blind from birth probably wouldn't have any concept as to, like, say, I don't know, size of an elephant, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas I do have that perspective.
So you think of those 3 years as a big advantage in a way?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that they are crucial to, like, the person I am today. I don't think I would have got as far without that.
Interesting, because, you know, I'm deeply inspired by, you know, your skill set as it is, and I guess everybody's skill set is going to be different depending on how they come upon their disability.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you know, how you're brought up as well, you know, makes a lot of difference. You know, I mean, I was never treated as, you know, I've got two older sisters who are both sighted. You know, and I went to a school, my secondary school, where, you know, it was predominantly sighted people. And I think that makes a big difference, you know, that you are treated, you know, the same as everybody else.
Yeah, definitely. You do get the chance to buy some interesting technology. He says, picking up off the table, the Cobalt Speechmaster, which is an interesting looking device. They've obviously gone for function over form. And it's basically you use it to tell what your colours and whites are for the wash.
That's right, yeah.
Explain it.
So, yeah, so it basically, as we were discussing earlier, so it basically looks like a taser. So people do think you're carrying some sort of lethal weapon when you approach them with it. But if you put it on anything, so long as we also discovered earlier, on something that isn't a rounded surface,
yep.
Because it needs to block...
Like an orange.
Yeah, like an orange, because it needs to block out all the light from the sides. Mm. And you turn it on, it will tell you what colour that particular object is.
I'm just picturing you now getting mugged. I hope you don't mind. And you jabbing this into someone and it going, blue! Which is probably going to be quite a shock to any attacker.
It probably would. It'd put most people off, I reckon.
But no, interesting bit of kit, which you say lives in your laundry basket.
It does.
I'm going to put it over here. Does it take people a while? I mean, would you know even? Do people just assume you are sighted? 'Cause...
Not generally when I've got the dog in harness, no.
No, no. Of course, the dog, which I don't know if I can get this.
Probably not.
She's stopped now.
She's decided to stop. There we go, right on cue. The dog that is snoring on this very... Oh, sorry, woken the dog up. And her eyebrow is now raised as she looks concerned over the top of her nose. Summer, your dog, incredible, incredible animal. What does Summer have to do?
Well, most of the day, sleep. So Summer guides me around. Generally, her duties are to warn me when there are down or up steps.
Okay.
So she will, for down steps, she will sit at the top of them, and that goes for curbs as well. For up steps, she will put her front feet on the bottom step and then stop. So you can feel that there's a change in the angle of the harness.
Mm-hmm.
She will stop me from walking into things. When I'm in work, she'll take me to my meeting rooms. And
she's definitely, I can tell though that she's got a bit of an evil side.
Oh, she has. She has. As the Guide Dogs Association term it, because she's half retriever, they term it as being golden.
Okay.
So golden, as you know, I'm sure, goldens are traditionally regarded as quite stubborn. And that streak definitely comes out in her sometimes.
Fantastic. Wonderful companion. Not your first?
No, second. So my first dog, Tilly, she's been dead now for 3 years, but I had her, she worked for me for 8.5 years. Mm. I was the first person in the country to have a guide dog under the age of 18.
Really?
Yeah. And so I was 16 and a half when I got Tilly.
Why did they not give... I mean, they think you're just going to hang around down the park and burn stuff.
I think it's kind of a responsibility kind of thing. Definitely. You know, I think, you know, you have to be deemed as responsible. I hear now that they have done some younger since, but, mm-hmm. You know, up until me training, you know, it was very much a kind of, you know, you're not considered sort of responsible enough to be like 18, say.
Do you have to push for this kind of stuff, this kind of assistance, this kind of help, push for the benefits? Are you out there scouring to see kind of what is possible to assist you, lead a, you know, a normal life, a fulfilling life? I mean, accessibility isn't staring you in the face, is it, really?
No, so technology I always keep an eye on, you know, because you do look for various bits of advantage, you know, where if there's anything that can help you, you know, technology-wise, you know, that can help, you know, work go easier, your uni work go easier, you know, then, you know, then I'm there, you know. I think that's incredibly important because, you know, that you are at a disadvantage, you know, no matter what you can do, you know, you are always at a slight disadvantage to somebody who is sighted. You know, so there is always that element of you do have to work like slightly harder to end up at the same result.
Yeah, just as much for safety reasons as for managing at work and so on.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
Forth. Can I do a quick test?
Yeah.
What can you hear right now?
So the dog breathing. There's a sparrow and a dunnock outside. The people behind me are doing something in their garden. It sounds like they're moving some stuff around in their garden. And I think there's blue tit as well, just arrived.
I'm going to stop you there because I can't hear people. And I didn't know what those birds were. So that was kind of trying to lead you into my next question. What parts of you have kind of... have become stronger or been enhanced due to having to overcome?
So I have this conversation with people a lot. I don't think that they have become enhanced at all. I believe that it is just... So your primary sense is sight and you rely totally on that. So your first view of the world, if you like, is through sight.
Yeah.
Like when we was talking about the cake earlier, you know, your first thing was to look at the cake. You know, when I asked you what is in this cake,
I looked at the fruit before tasting it.
That's right. Whereas that's not.
God, that cake was nice. Why did you have to bring that up? Carry on.
It's right. You might get another piece later as well for that. You know, for me, that's obviously not an option. You know, so therefore, I have to concentrate on other senses. But all of my senses work simultaneously. You know, whereas your immediate thing is to look at something. You know, I'm, you know, listening, smelling, you know, if it's an option, you know, touching and tasting, you know, as well, you know, and those senses are all working together.
Now, I love audio, but I do think, you know, even more so now, my ears have really got lazy then. That's what you're saying. It's not that they can't hear the same as you. It's that I'm not giving them the time.
No, absolutely. And if actual fact, I think if we were to blindfold you, then you'd actually be able to, you'd suddenly start listening a lot more.
I do, I mean, I must admit, I do take the time and sit in the garden and listen to stuff. If it wasn't for that noisy road, I could probably hear a lot more. and I try to be as aware as possible. I don't think people take the time though, do they?
No.
It's stimulus, we all seem to want, but not always auditory. Yeah.
I'd put this to you, you know, you sit down in front of the TV, right? If I was to deprive you of the picture, I'm sure you'd still know what was going on in the programme.
Now, that's interesting, because I was looking at a few of the videos and films you've got on your shelves. A lot of the tapes and the audiobooks, I have no idea what they are, because they've got Braille stickers down the spine. That's I can see you've got Red Dwarf.
Yeah.
I can see you've got Bottom Live.
Yeah.
Another humour... A Knight's... that's a film that I didn't think was actually that good. Only Fools and Horses.
yeah. I've obviously got those on DVD. I mean, they're my old VHSs that I haven't quite got around to getting rid of yet.
Yeah. So... You feel you get just as much... I mean, a lot... There is visual comedy you're going to miss out on.
Yeah, so... you do. I mean, you do. Without a doubt. But there are ways around that. So on Freeview and on Sky, there is now audio description.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, if you have that turned on, then, you know, you will get you'll get a voiceover on the bits where, you know, you perhaps otherwise wouldn't be able to follow.
So Aid Edmondson, smashing Rick Mayall's head
absolutely
in a fridge is actually funny now that we talk about absolutely. It as much as seeing it.
That's right, yeah. Because you can just picture that. And, you know, from watching the programmes, I mean, you know the characters involved and you know, so... But, I mean, it's also, you know, as simple as, you know, say if you go to the cinema with someone, you know, to watch a film, you know, I mean... So long as that person is aware of the bits that you might be struggling on, you know, or you even have a signal, you know, like, okay, I'm struggling on this bit, you know, like by giving them a nudge or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and they describe the bit that's happening. I mean, most of my friends, you know the bits, you know, that I'm going to be struggling on, you know, and just automatically do it.
Mm. You know? Does anybody ever go, shh?
No. No, I've never had that.
Is that because the dog's in the seat next to you?
I don't actually take her, but...
Is she allowed to go in cinemas?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah. But I could just picture, because the way that she's curled up on that chair right now, I can't help but think she'd be quite comfortable in the cinema.
I think she probably would.
Now, a minute ago you said picture something. Your dictionary, is it different to my dictionary?
No.
As in, I'm a very visual person, so I will say... Look at it this way.
Yeah. Funnily enough, so am I.
Oh, really? So if I say, let's shed some light on this, it's not going to be insulting in a way.
No. So I, and to be honest, I get quite annoyed with people who do get upset about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, because this is just language we're talking, isn't it? You know, I mean, and how can you get upset by language? They're just everyday expressions.
Because I handed you something and said, look at this.
Yeah.
But I didn't... think I should change that and go, no. Feel this. It just wouldn't be natural for me to say that.
No, it wouldn't.
And you'd gauge the fact that it's not natural and you'd go, stop making up new words just to please me.
I would actually say stop being a complete pillock.
Fair enough, please do.
But no, you do get people who do that, you know, try and be outrageously, you know, politically correct. You know, there's just no need.
No. Oh, no, well, not at all. I mean... I can't help but notice three quite large didgeridoos in the corner of the room.
Speaking of being politically incorrect.
Yeah, exactly. Do you play any other instruments?
No. No, so...
A bit like me.
Yeah.
I've got harmonicas as well.
I've got one, actually. I don't play it, though. But no, I just play the didg.
Why is that? Is it something that's, excuse the pun, resonated with you?
Well, to be honest, I was at a festival in about 2002, maybe, something like that, and I heard someone playing it. And I'm like, wow, that just sounds amazing.
Mm.
So I went and found basically a cheap bamboo one, which I learnt to play on. And then I've been out and over the years bought these three, which are actual Aborigine-made didgeridoos in North East Arnhem Land in Australia. One of them made by... probably the top didg maker in the world.
Mm.
And I just love the sound that they make. I mean, I actually find it really relaxing to play. I can just sit there and, you know, play for 45 minutes, an hour, you know, and I just find it really, really relaxing.
Even though for some, I mean, it's actually quite tiring, especially with the diaphragm movements you need when it comes to circular breathing and so on.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, really form breathing exercise though, isn't it?
No, definitely.
I mean, I probably couldn't play that big one for 45 minutes. I mean, that would take some effort. Well, you tried it. You tried that one yourself, didn't you?
I don't think I have the lung capacity.
No, it's because of the diameter on the bottom end. It's you can't build up a lot of back pressure like you can on the other two.
So, what about your musical tastes?
Oh, everything. So anything from Bruce Springsteen to Bach, Eagles, Elgar, you name it. In fact, that's pretty much on my iPod. It's a 50-50 split between kind of rock and classical.
Give me some embarrassing stuff.
Embarrassing stuff. Lorena McKenna.
So you don't even know. That's how embarrassing that is.
She's a Canadian kind of folk singer. She's
okay. Oh, that's not too bad. I like a bit of folk. A bit of folk. How about you play us? I don't know how you find time to do any studying with all this stuff going on. You play us out with some didge.
All right.
Which one are you going for?
I'm going for the Jali one, which I find this one the easiest to play. So I can sit here and play this one for ages. It's just got a nice nice sort of pressure curve on it, you know, so you're not kind of overstraining yourself to play it. And I think, you know, I just quite like the tone of it.
You